In your packet are the minutes from the last common council meeting on December 27th. Because of the changeover in administration, we have two of the members present. So it's my understanding, Rosie, that those two individuals approve them? Approve the minutes?
The two members that are here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes dated Tuesday, December 27th, 7 p.m. from the Common Council meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Okay. The two from the past council have approved the minutes. Election of council president. One thing that would probably be good for citizens to have an understanding of is that in my absence, God forbid something happened to me, that the council president would serve as the mayor in my absence. And so it's an interesting thing that happens, I believe, at the beginning of every year. So I'm going to leave that to you guys, how you want to do that. So
I'll just make a motion that we elect Dan as Common Council President.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Nicole, seconded by Ben. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All sign. Sorry. All those opposed? Okay, it's unanimous. Dan Weigold has been elected the council president.
Thanks, I think.
Do we have any ordinances or resolutions tonight?
No.
No? Okay. Council appointments. Rosie, would you like to talk about that for 2 seconds or introduce that, I guess?
I've given a list of everybody that their terms expired, and there's council appointments that for the Planning Commission, which is Danny and Jeff Walker and Walt Crowder. And I don't know if Danny's had time to talk to anybody or any of you that...
No, I know we have a Planning Commission meeting next Monday already, and... I have not had a chance to talk to, I mean, I saw Walt tonight, I didn't bring that
Walt
up.
Walt did express interest to me that he would like to continue serving.
And I myself would still like to have that opportunity as well, if that's... Jeff, I had not had an opportunity, but I would...
And I believe he is also interested, although I'm a little nervous about talking for him, so...
I mean, I can call him tomorrow and see where he wants to stand with that.
Will that be in time, though, for the meeting?
I will check with Dave Sewell on that to see if that's all right. I know with the changeover, he can still have the current people in place until they're appointed. So,
can we do these appointments pending, like, Jeff's approval?
Pending their approval.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Sorry, having dinner.
Now, is that, I think, because one has to be a council and one has to be, since Walt still is part of an appointed position on the Board of Works, I still think that clarifies it, classified him.
I don't think they have to be.
The only thing this says is that they have to be no more than two of the same political party.
And within the jurisdiction.
And live in the city. Live in the city.
Okay. I know I talked to Dave Sewell about that, but I think you said everything was still good. I mean, politically correct, so to speak, with that.
So does that need a motion? Or appointments? Sorry, Marcia. Okay.
I'll make a motion to reappoint the three that are currently on the Planning Commission to another term.
Second.
Okay. Ben has motioned and Nicole has seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Redevelopment Commission is also on the table. The council does have two appointments. The only requirement, to my knowledge, is they have to live within the city limits.
Was there anybody that was interested in those positions? We had some discussion earlier that at least one of them wanted to stay on, but was there anybody else that...
The only one that I had spoken to was Kevin. Kevin did express interest, and I did not get a chance to talk to Jerry, but I know that Kevin was interested in staying on.
I know I have not made any been able to contact Jerry. I know last year when we made the appointment, Jerry was in contact with me to see if he could be appointed to that position, but I have not had a chance to talk with him yet. Again, I can go ahead and call him if that's...
When it is a one-year
appointment. Unless you got some other people that you'd like to see, then we'd have to vote on it.
If it says must live in the city limits, does it exclude anybody, like council people or anything?
It does not. It does not. No, we had Marsha check on that. It doesn't exclude council members.
Are you interested?
I'm not interested.
Oh.
I'm just asking. Well, I'll make a motion that we retain Kevin Snow, and I'd like to suggest we appoint Ben Romine to the Redevelopment Commission.
I'll second that.
Okay. So you're appointing both Kevin and Ben?
Kevin and Ben.
Okay. Okay. So I believe Nicole made the motion and Bill seconded, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all those in favor in those appointments, to the usual sign. Unanimous.
So he'll be replacing Jerry.
He'll be replacing Jerry. That's my understanding. And then on the Joint Advisory Board, the appointment has to be a council member. And former Councilman Don Sexton was in that position. We need a council member to fill that position. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the Joint Advisory Board does, so I'm going to defer on this one.
I don't know where she got had to be a council member, because I used to be on it.
Oh, okay.
When it first started. What it is, it's because we took the council or the plan commission and joined ventures with the county, we put somebody on this joint board so that we sit in on when they prepare their budgets, we can sit in and decide whether we really want to approve or make them change it. So it's really I think they meet maybe once a year is all. And it's just during the budget cycle. And it's just a representative from the city that sits on that. And I was the first one that sat on it.
So oh, okay.
I didn't know I had to be a council member. But it's probably a good thing because if somebody wants to be a council member, we do it.
Okay.
I even think Jeff sat on it at one time.
Nicole, you're the other experienced one.
That's fine. That's fine.
I'd like to make a motion on that.
Yeah. I'll move that we nominate Nicole to sit on the Joint Advisory Board.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Jackie, seconded by Ben. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Rosie, when do you want to address this? Do you want to do that later on your time? I mean, when you... Or how do you want to...
You can do it now, or Kel can do it. He's the one that kind of started asking.
Okay. So a perfect transition into department reports then.
Yeah.
Kelly, do you want to talk a little bit about holidays and
and
what has happened this weekend?
Yeah. Just to start off a little bit about snow removal. In the last few days, we came in Sunday, Monday, and then... came in early this morning, and we had slick intersections and streets that we put material on, and Saturday and Sunday, and then this morning we came in and scraped a little bit, put material down. One of the questions that got brought up was, it got brought up before was, on the holidays, the actual holiday was Sunday. The observed date was Monday, and we're just trying to get clarified. In the policy, it seemed like it wasn't real clear on which way, which where the double time was at, whether it was on the actual holiday or the observed day. So that question got brought up, and or I brought it up to Rosie just to kind of talk a little bit about it, and then it was going to get mentioned here. I knew you were aware of it.
Yeah. That's okay, Kelly. Basically, the issue is when in this type of situation, if members of the street department or if there's a break of one of our utilities or something like that, does that employee get holiday pay on the actual holiday, on the observed holiday, or on both? That's basically the question, and I'm not sure if, are we just looking at this discussion-wise, or you just want a clarification?
I just need some clarification because of payroll coming up, and this has come up before, and, you know, it doesn't state it, but we've always paid it on the observed day, but and I was talking to Ryan today, you know, if a person, if Christmas Day is on Saturday, and we observed it on Friday, and they got called out on Friday, and then they got the double time, but then somebody had to work Christmas Eve on a water leak or snow removal. Is it fair for them to have to work that holiday, physically that holiday, and not get double time?
Well, it seems clear that if they work the holiday, they should get...
Which holiday?
But the holiday.
The actual holiday.
Or the one you're observing.
If they work the actual holiday, they should get paid.
And it only falls if it's a weekend.
Right. So the observed holiday, what I hear you saying, Bill, then the observed holiday is not the same as the actual holiday. The holiday, they should get holiday pay, the observed holiday.
Don't we have some departments now that are paid on the actual holiday, not the observed holiday, because they work?
Safety.
Right. So wouldn't it be the same thing if they worked that? Or, I guess, in their case, it would have to be an either-or sort of thing. I mean, if they were called out on Christmas, they should get paid. I don't want to see anybody work Christmas Day and not get paid for it. That doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if they're not called out on Christmas and the observed holiday is on Friday, then they should get compensated like the other employees that are compensated on that day, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Well, technically they get time and a half, but the actual holiday, whatever holiday we decide, they would get double. And so currently, if I understand it, your fellows get paid on the observed holiday.
Mine?
Double. I'd like to ask, I'm asking.
Well, on mine, like the way it fell this year, on our department, somebody works every single holiday. A lot of my guys, it's divided up equally. There isn't a holiday or a day that somebody's not working. Mike's is the same way. Hours are different, but there isn't a day goodbye that somebody doesn't physically have to go in there and perform their duties. It's not as long, but they have to. And this past one on Christmas, it was scheduled for my newest employee. He went on call, and so he had the obligation to work Christmas because that's the way we do it up there when we schedule it. So he worked Friday and Monday. He got paid double time for it, but he was in there Saturday and Sunday, which was Christmas Eve and Christmas, and he got time and a half. Now, it only fell on one person. Next year, it'll fall on another, a different person. It changes all the time, and the holidays are divided up amongst the employees, so it really doesn't make too much of a difference to them how it's set up, just as long as they get the holiday pay for one of them. But I'm saying on ours, some of the departments, they don't work unless they get called in on holiday. We don't have that option. We work all holidays every single day.
But if it's the same person, say if it's you working Christmas Day,
mm-hmm.
then you get paid double time. And let's say it's, who else do you have?
Bob.
Yeah, throw Bob in there.
Okay.
Bob will work.
Okay, then Bob comes in on, that was Sunday, then Bob comes in on Monday, which is the observed holiday, then what does he get paid?
See, that's the way this would have been set up this time, because for the actual to work Christmas, in our call schedule, the new call starts on Fridays.
Okay.
It would have ended on Thursday, so the new guy would have had the holidays because he needed to work those. So he would have got the double time, which would have been Friday and Monday. And then I would have had a different guy working Saturday and Sunday because it was his actual call. So we had to flop them, and then the one person just covered all that. So it didn't make any difference. But if we would have left it the way the call, I would have had two different people. One would have got the
one
double time,
observing.
And the other one would have got time and a half, but he was actually there on Christmas.
So currently we get paid as the observed day, not the holiday.
Well,
if it's on a weekend.
Yeah. And the weekends don't fall that often.
I know.
But this on this circumstance, yeah, I think.
Like if it's one person work, like Kelly, does everybody come in when?
No. I tried to get the minimum amount of guys to perform what we needed to do, you know, because it is temple time.
So you might have had.
I had four guys come
Friday.
In on Sunday and okay. four guys on Monday, but two of the guys were the same ones. The guy that was on call is going to get called, you know, every
right.
time. So it was. I just needed to know timesheet wise, you know. There's nobody complaining or anything. I don't want you to, you know, get that impression. But after looking at the, you know, going through there, the policy, and it just seemed like it was a little unclear, and I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page with that.
Can you make it like, okay, like with Mike, the same guy worked them all, so he gets double for one and time and a half for the other?
It needs to be spelled out. Either we're going to pay him double on a actual holiday or pay him double
okay.
on the observed holiday.
When
either,
those holidays fall on weekends.
Neither,
yeah.
None of my guys complain about the holidays.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's going to get the way it's set up now and the way the timesheet was turned in, the Friday and Monday, he put down double time on his timesheet, Saturday and Sunday, was time and a half.
I would be inclined to say pay the actual holiday because that takes you away from your family and stuff where, like, let's say the day after Christmas, everybody could be out shopping or just,
yeah.
you know. I say the actual holiday.
But if I understand it right, though, that there's going to be parts of the department, the prospective departments that are getting paid for the holiday, the observed holiday, and only a small amount of people that are actually working the holiday, right?
No,
everybody gets paid because you get your 8 hours holiday pay.
If they have to get called out, they will get paid double time for that holiday.
Okay.
They're just deciding because of this year it was you had your let's say if Christmas is on a Wednesday, then
it doesn't matter.
Then it doesn't matter.
No, it's just
because that's
on
the only
weekend.
Day you get off is Christmas. Okay.
Well, no more often than this happens. Either way, it's either an observed holiday or it's a holiday. In either case, it's still that benefit. And my first thought, the easiest way to solve it is just pay double time for that observed holiday and the actual holiday. I mean, I know that's a lot, that could be a substantially more money, but that could be, I mean, right now there's too many variables out there. You know, there's too many ifs, ands, buts, and maybes, and it's still an observed holiday that everybody gets off, and whether you get called in on a paid holiday, that is still considered an observed holiday. And that's still taking time away from their family or if they had plans or what have you. And that still could possibly be double time for that. I don't know. I'm just, with all the variables out there, I'm just thinking the easiest solution would be if it's an observed holiday or actual holiday, it's still a double time.
Budgetary-wise, department heads, how first of all, how has it been done in the past versus how would that impact your budget if we were to go with double pay for both the holiday and the observed holidays? Let's just say for this last year where it was impacted. Would it be significant?
At present time, we pay for the actual holiday in communication and public safety.
You
so
pay for
you
the actual holiday.
If you work the actual holiday, you get double time for that. The observed one, we do not pay for.
Yeah,
so you're doubling up three
right.
shifts mm-hmm. if you want to pay for observed and actual holidays.
It's going
with,
to be
with at least three departments.
It's going to be significant dollars.
So that's where it gets tough because here your fire and some of your people that's here 24/7 365 mm-hmm. is different than the guys that work, you know, Monday through Friday, and then yeah, they're on call anyway on Saturday mm-hmm. and Sunday. But that's why I say there's so many variables here that.
Well, that's why we switched to be. If you work the actual holiday, you get paid. Otherwise, you don't.
Right.
Because, as everybody knows, the actual holiday, if you're working, you're away from your family. The other days, like people have said, you know, sometimes some of them are just regular days.
Right.
So we thought it was fair for our department, public safety, that if you're working the holiday, you're away from your family, you deserve the double time. If you're not, you don't.
Okay. So that would include communication,
police
fire,
and police.
As for infrastructure-wise, for you guys, what typically what do you do kind of the same way that Kelly does it?
I had a guy get called in on Christmas Day.
Okay.
So, and he was asking me how to handle that, and I told him I thought it was going to be brought up tonight.
Okay.
So that I would have an answer for him tomorrow, hopefully.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, because the way it is now, he wouldn't get paid double time.
Yeah.
And I do think it's important to recognize that there is a difference in responsibilities and a difference in ways in which departments function between public safety and infrastructure and parks and so on and so forth. So I do wonder if, you know, I don't know. I'm personally speaking, I think what I would like to see if they work on the actual holiday, they get paid the holiday pay. If they work on the observed holiday, I'm fine with time and a half for that because it is an observed holiday by the city. I might think it was.
Well, that would be probably the best solution, quite honestly. Then.
Now, do we need to have a motion to change the policy for that?
Yeah, well, the policy really isn't that.
Well, I think to clarify the policy.
Yes, that's what I want.
Yes, you would like to see a.
Have something in writing.
I don't want to stop discussion or anything, but.
Well, so that I'm clear on it, are we going to have employees? Are we going to have employees that are going to get paid for the observed holiday, and then come in and work on the holiday and get paid for that also?
Just the holiday.
If you're called in.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically an emergency type situation where you're called in. Again, separate from public safety that have a little bit different, and I guess even infrastructure in some ways, utilities.
Well, I guess I'm all right with, you know, if the utility gets called in on an observed holiday, they get paid time and a half.
Right.
If they get called in on the actual holiday, they get double time.
Okay.
I can live with that.
Can we be very careful on the verbiage of that, because election days and certain other holidays, our meetings fall almost every time on that holiday. And verbiage is everything. And I know my guys in particular have been told, if you come to a meeting on those days, you do not get that holiday pay, because it's an allotted amount of. We have two guys per shift, and only two guys get holiday pay. I just want to make sure that we maintain that integrity of that policy. And Rosie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and it's only working. If you're working, required to work.
Working, okay.
I just want to make sure that we maintain that integrity of that policy.
So is that going to affect this pay? So should I have that timesheet changed then?
Yeah, that's why I wanted, as of the first of the year, to change it so that it's only the... It would be for holidays, would be only.
Unless I have to change the timesheet, it's not going to change anything.
No.
Because all we're doing is just changing, because he's going to get paid
the same
amount.
Right.
And it's the same person.
Okay.
So do you want me to change it so it looks right on paper, or just leave it the way it is?
We can just arrow it out. Make it right. We need to make it right. So we look back, we know.
This is the one that was turned in.
When we turned in Friday, we'll have double time on.
Yeah, that doesn't affect last year. I'm talking starting December 1st, the 31st.
Yeah.
And next time.
Yeah.
Okay, so
right.
It's not going to change the pay anyway.
Okay, so does someone want to make a motion to that degree regarding what we just discussed as a change of the city policy?
So what you want to say is if you're called in, if you, do you want to put that in the motion, that if you're called in on an emergency basis, that this is how, so that way it wouldn't be affect the meetings and it wouldn't affect.
Well, that's what I'm going to toss that back to the department heads for 2 seconds, Nicole. Is emergency basis going to cause issues with any of the departments if we say it's by, if you're called in on an emergency basis?
I would say if you're called in to work, and or you had to work.
Well, we could just say excluding meetings that may fall on holidays. Would that work?
It's not going to be, you could get into tapping into funds that are not, especially for us, that are not budgeted.
Well, no, if we say the holiday, they're going to be paid on the holiday, double time, and on the observed holiday, time and a half, excluding any meetings that are scheduled on those.
No, but what we're saying is, what Tom is saying is, we don't pay time and a half on observed holidays right now.
Okay.
To outside of their normal work schedule.
Right.
I don't think we need to put time and a half in there. It's already covered.
It's just for holidays.
What meetings are you talking about?
We have regular meetings. Like right now, my department conveniently moved the council meeting to it tonight. I have a normal business meeting going on with the fire department at this exact same time. Those meetings occur on holidays, on first Tuesdays of every month.
Election
on first
day.
Tuesday, election on his election day, following first Monday, and typically that
and
is the
election
case.
Day is listed as Monday.
So bear with me on my story here. Those guys that would come into that meeting do not get paid holiday pay if they're outside of their normal work schedule. If you make it so that even on emergencies that they can get holiday pay, that means anytime that we get toned out, our department gets toned out on a run, if you verb it that way, then they are eligible for holiday pay on an emergency tone out for our department. So then that would go outside of our budgeted allotted funds, and then she's going to...
I understand what you're saying, but I'm somewhat concerned that we're scheduling meetings for people to occur during holidays that
but
have been established.
But they don't really have
holidays. First and third Tuesdays of every month,
yeah.
We have...
And they don't really have holidays.
And this happened in November with the police department. A meeting was
called. Well, but that's my point. I mean, why would we schedule a meeting to occur on a holiday?
That's in the volunteers' bylaws and constitution, and the full-time guys are invited to attend all the meetings.
But not required to attend.
Huh?
Not required to attend.
They are not required.
Okay, that was my point, is that we wouldn't want to require people to attend a meeting that's taking place on a holiday.
No, they're encouraged to attend, but they are not required to attend.
I understand.
Well, another question, if we include in the motion just civil city and utilities, because that's what this falls under. That would exclude police, fire, and...
Excluding public safety.
Okay.
I'm just asking, what if somebody from my department gets called in on an emergency situation on the observed holiday, whether it's a detective or
we're going to exclude you guys from the motion.
If it's on the observed holiday, then you'll continue doing what you've been doing. If it's on the actual holiday, they should be getting...
And I think what Tim's trying to say is, let's just say we had a murder in town and...
Everybody.
He called three or four of his guys in here, and they were in here for half a day or a day. I have said that it states in the ordinance that if it's worked, if they had to come in and work, and they had to work half a shift, but it's a scheduled shift.
Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't really be a scheduled shift, right?
No. And the way it is set up right now, no, they wouldn't get paid.
It would be nice if we had that variable in there that we could allow that to those guys to get the holiday payment. As of right now, it's not in there even for that.
Mm-hmm. It would just be on emergency situations, don't
right?
Correct.
I think that makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't. We can't. I mean, nobody would expect if we came to work on our own to get paid. But right. if the chief of police calls half the department in on Christmas, and we have no option but to come, I can't imagine why we wouldn't pay people for doing that.
Well, that's why I want it black and white, because it's happened before, and
I can't imagine it happening very often, but
I need to know.
No, I agree.
Right, I understand that.
Just so okay. There need to be two separate...
Well, that's what I'm wondering. So, Rosie, how do you feel like it would become black, more black and white, that we could follow a policy that wouldn't put existing policies from public safety in a position where it compromises what they budgeted as well as what the practices have been?
Well, I would just say that any regular employees that work on a holiday in emergency situations receive double pay on that holiday, on the official holiday.
On the official holiday.
And it's regular employees. Public safety, then if you want to do something with public safety, you can. But
so public safety would include police,
fire, and
dispatch.
So that's on an emergency.
Only on emergency.
Okay.
It'd be nice to have something on there as approved by the chief, something like that.
Yeah, so
I'm not paying an hour of holiday pay for the guys to go, and not that one emergency is. So I can say, guys, come on, you're making every run because you know it's $20 an hour.
So as approved by department head.
Yeah.
Okay, but we can make two different motions.
Okay.
I'm going to make a motion relating to civil city and utilities excluding public safety that anyone working on an actual holiday, you want, on an emergency basis, get paid double time, and on the observed holiday, time and a half.
Emergency or regular schedule, because like he said, Mike and Mike.
Or regular schedule.
They're not necessarily emergency. It's,
okay.
It's regular
so
schedule.
I think we should just leave emergency out of the civil city and utilities, and just say anyone working on the actual holiday gets paid time, double time. On the observed holiday gets time and a half. That's just for civil city and utilities.
So that is your motion?
That's my motion.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, and Dan seconded. Any further discussion?
Does that, the standby then?
That's automatic.
That just, okay, that's double for that day. That would fall underneath that verbiage. Okay.
So the...
we're just doing civil city and utilities.
I understand. But they're going to get paid time and a half for the observed holiday and double time if they come in and work the actual holiday.
Mm-hmm. Which it's not going to happen very often. It would have happened this Christmas and New Year's.
What, probably every 5 years or four or 5 years it's going to be a little different. It's really just, I mean, this is a clarification of the policy because we have departments doing it differently. And right now, there's some that are doing it this way, and there's some that are doing it the opposite way. And so it's just a clarification of those purposes in regards to civil city and utilities.
Because of the weekend.
Right, because it falls on a weekend and there's those observed.
And that's if they're called in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But aren't there a lot of employees, I mean, as far as outside the utility side, aren't there a lot of employees that work both of the observed holiday and the actual holiday?
Well, that's what Mike Cook has.
Well, those guys aren't called in.
That's what Mike Cook has.
Well, but I mean, like, public safety would be that way, too.
We're not talking about them. We're going to do separate.
I understand that we're talking about two separate things, but my point is that if we're going to pay them to work an observed holiday and the actual day the actual holiday, then if half the city employees are working those days on the other side and aren't getting paid for it, I think that might be a problem.
You're
Does
talking about
sense?
Public safety,
right? If public safety is working, if they're working the observed holiday and then they're working the actual holiday, and they're getting paid for the actual holiday, they're not getting paid for working the observed holiday, I don't see how it's any different than what we're talking about right now, where they got paid for working the observed holiday, but then they came in and they worked as a special thing for the actual holiday. It seems to be the same to me, unless I'm missing something.
Well, the police, fire, and communication only get paid at holiday.
The actual holiday.
That's the way it was set up.
And you're only talking about if they get called in on an emergency situation, not if they're just scheduled to work.
I thought we...
Right? If you're just scheduled to work the day after, you're not going to get paid.
Well,
that's the same department, though.
Mike Cook would have somebody scheduled to work.
Right.
That's,
yeah, that's not an emergency situation.
It's 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you would have somebody
Saturdays
scheduled to work.
Saturdays and Sundays are 4 hours each day. Any holiday is required to be 5 hours for them to complete everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike's is for 3 hours.
Okay.
And would you have the same person scheduled to work on the holiday as you would the day after or the observed day?
Depending on the day, we go from Friday morning till Friday morning, so
it could possibly
be.
No, in ours we split all the holidays between. I have four guys on call for, like, this year went through, and all the holidays that will be off, it's split equally between the four of them. And then, like I said, then we rotate between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we rotate, so not everybody's working the same one every day. So we run a separate holiday schedule compared to our regular on-call schedule. That way nobody, because if you run down through there, you might have one guy that's working, you know, 8 of the 12 holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that person may not want to work 12 holidays. They might like it because they're going to make all that money, but then you have somebody else going, you know, I'd like to have a little bit of that money too. So if we just do it evenly and everybody gets their fair share, nobody has to work all of them, and not everybody's making all the holiday pay. Mostly nobody has to work all of them, because if it's a day off, people want the day off. So if we do it evenly, then it spreads it out amongst everybody other than myself and the supervisor. Since we're hourly, we do not do, we're on call 24/7. We just don't get, I don't get paid for coming in extra. My supervisor does.
Tom?
Because all the superintendents are salary. But we're not required to work holidays unless somebody calls us in for help. So it doesn't apply to us.
I think the difference, Bill, is there's a different expectation. Like the guys in Kelly's department work 7 to 4, Monday through Friday. And that's their hours, and anything extra than that is called in as an emergency basis, where police, fire, and dispatch are not set to those 7 to 4 Monday through Friday hours. And so it's a whole different animal, I think.
Well, it is a whole different animal. I agree with that.
You're just looking for consistency throughout the departments in some way, shape, or form. What I hear you saying, Bill.
Well, right. I'm concerned that we'll take some employees and have them paid for observed holiday and actual holiday, where we have some employees that are only being paid on the actual holiday and some employees that are only being paid on the observed holiday. I think that it should be consistent. Whatever that is, or however that pans out, it should be consistent.
Yeah, and what we're doing is everybody's getting paid on the observed holiday. That's what they're doing right now.
There are things throughout the policy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It has to be, what we're doing is paying the 40-hour work week people is who this is affecting right here, that we're changing.
So if a police officer or a firefighter, whoever, has to work, their schedule is to work on Christmas Day or New Year's Day or whatever the case may be, that they do get that holiday pay.
Correct.
It's just on the Monday after, they get normal pay because they were normally scheduled for that day.
Correct.
On the schedule. So they don't get time and a half, mm-hmm. They just get their normal pay.
There are many examples of this throughout the policy where we're different than the other employees, mm-hmm. and this is just one of many. It's brought up on call time, things like that. My guy's Terry Page is on there. We don't get that. We know that. We're apples and oranges. Sometimes it's just the nature of the beast. That's one reason why I've many times argued that there needs to be two policy manuals, one for utilities, one for public safety, and we don't see each other's manuals because of mm-hmm. things like this.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, there was a motion on the table. It was seconded. So I will call it to a vote then. So all those
can
in favor?
Read the motion,
I'm sorry,
please?
Yes. Can you
want
read
me
it?
To repeat it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. Concerning civil, city, and utilities, anyone working on a on the actual holiday would get double time. Anyone working on the observed holiday would get time and a half. Was that all?
I believe that was the motion.
Yes. Excluding, yeah.
Just concerning civil city utilities.
Yes. Okay. So all of those in favor, show by the usual sign. Okay. And opposed? Okay. 4-1. Simpson opposed.
Now we need to do a motion to clarify public safety, right? What clarification do you guys need on yours? Anyway?
We're actually fine with ours. I mean, we get paid if we work the observed. The actual holiday.
It would be nice to have that.
Something about the emergency.
It would be nice to have the emergency portion in there if it's approved by the chief or director.
Director.
To allow that. That way, if there is and God forbid a tornado that goes through on 4th of July. And Terry has people come in, and I have people come in, and Tim has people come in. We can approve them to get that holiday beyond the 4th of July so that that does not create a barrier. That would be a nice thing to have. However, keep in mind, anytime that that would be allowed, it would be outside of our normal budgeted allotment for our holiday pay.
But so the people that are scheduled to work on a holiday, they normally get double pay anyway?
They get the holiday pay. Okay. They're scheduled to work.
Okay, so the people that would be called in would be getting the same thing as the ones that were already working.
Correct.
Basically.
I know that this, specifically in regards to public safety and in regards to observed holidays and real holidays and how that policy works, I know that that's something that we've tinkered with over the years and we've tried to figure out a way in which we can be fair and stuff. It would be my preference that we study that issue in particular a little bit more before we make any kind of motions, because I know I think it would be helpful to have individuals from this council as well as Rosie and Marcia and our public safety directors together having a meeting about this and figuring out a good way of doing this, because it's obvious that there is a budget that was set for this year, and that if by changing the policies in regards to public safety, since we have individuals that are working both the actual holidays as well as the observed holidays, that could dramatically impact their budgets. And it's obvious by the head shaking from the public safety members that would impact their budget. And so it would be my preference, and I would ask the council at least to table that so that we can get a study committee together at least over the next couple weeks before the next council meeting to discuss that in particular public safety issue. That would be my preference. And I would ask the council to do that.
Is that fine with you guys?
I think
that'd be
great. Yep.
Okay. So do I need a motion to table that, or not really? Okay. Very good. Okay. So, Kelly, thanks a lot. We'll
that
start with
the
department
first
report.
Item of like 7 or 8. Now, sorry it went that long. I didn't realize we were going to get into quite that much, but appreciate all your input and thought on it. I'll just slide it over to Terry from this point, unless you'd like to hear a couple more things. Actually, the Chauncey Street project, the pipe project down on Chauncey Street, they're getting close to wrapping it up. I know Jeff reported a little bit on it earlier. There's some pipe issues that they didn't get put on the plans, I guess. We were asked to go down and try to verify where some of this is with our jet, maybe camera truck. So we'll probably try to do some of that tomorrow to help them out. And then Jackie, I think Walt might have mentioned that there's a curb cut request.
He was going to talk to me about it, but he hadn't had a chance yet. So
okay, there's a curb cut request over on Holden Road that would be in your district.
that we're working on sending a letter out to that for a person, or else I'll hand deliver it and talk to them about that.
Yeah.
That's all I have at this time.
Additional questions for Kelly?
I want to commend you, your street department. I lived in the county for years, and you guys do a phenomenal job of keeping the snow flow.
Thank you. We have a good group of guys that credit goes to them. I mean, I just get the plan going, and they do a good job at that. Plus, other departments, you know, it's definitely a group effort. All the departments, from dispatch to police to electric, wastewater. I mean, everybody sitting here usually chips in when we have a big event. And it's just nice to know that we can get together and work together, and guys are willing to chip in and offer trucks and their services. So, yeah, we have a good group of guys all the way around. Thanks, Ben.
Terry.
When working with SDS Communications and attempting to figure out how we can get a camera down at the Fire Museum so we can watch the trailhead and bathrooms over there, because some incidents we've had down there. And also working with the fire department, they're going to be doing mobile fire inspections, looking at different apps that they can use on their iPads to do their inspections on scene, fill them out, have them signed, etc. Been working with Sean. He's found an app that we can use on some of our handhelds to do viewing of our CAD drawings. So we have all the departments here that have anything in the CAD drawings to be able to pull them up on site, you know, and move them around to see what they need to do without having to go back and look at maps, etc. Continue to working on a computer replacement plan that we have. We basically have a plan of replacing a third of them every year, so we don't run into incidents where they get too old and we have too many to replace at once. So we're looking at some of the XP machines, because that software is no longer supported by Microsoft. So we're trying to figure out if the machine will handle Windows 7, if we'll upgrade them. If not, we'll look at replacing them. Some of them we will probably leave intact because of the software they use won't run on Windows 7. So it's a little juggling act figuring out what we can replace and what we can't. CenturyLink will be here tomorrow to work on our Cisco routers. They're going to set us up, because we are going to next week have a company come in and put another internet line in, so we can have a rollover internet line. So if one line goes down, we'll roll over to the other one, because we've come to find out we do an awful lot of work on the internet through utilities and everything else, and it's stressful when it's down. That's all I have for tonight.
Questions of Terry? Chief?
I'm not going to bore you tonight and tell you the few runs that we've been on for the last 3 days, so I'll have run numbers for you in the future. I will let you know that we do have a guy that's going to be starting up here in the next 2 weeks, going to Fort Wayne 2 to 3 times a week for some training. We offer Firefighter 1-2 here in the county, which is the firefighter training for people that work third and first shift. So it's evening training. We don't offer anything for second shift workers who would normally work in the evening. So that's offered now in county, and that's why he'll be commuting back and forth to that training. And so if you hear anybody talking about the command vehicle making that trip several times a week, it is. We do have an itinerary, tells us where he's supposed to be on what date and what time. So if you have any questions, I can show you the itinerary. Other than that.
Okay. Questions for Chief? Okay. Larry.
We're getting ready to start this winter's tree projects. The tree board has given us, I think, 30 trees, and of course we have some aged trees, stumps to remove yet. We've completed our Christmas decoration, taking them down and putting them away for the year. We've also completed our inventory. Today we went down to the old hospital, disconnected the power to it so they could start their construction on the inside, and we will be removing the transformers from the facility. And we got some information today, I believe, about the 333s, which we have three of those in a containment that they're worth about $800 a piece, and we have no use for them anymore, so we'll be selling those. We also have a service in Brennan addition that been needing to be hooked up for at least 2 weeks. We was over there again today and checked it, and it's still, we'd be unable to get our trencher in there, so we're pleading with the gentleman about his drywalling that can't get done. And that's it.
Questions of Larry? Mike Gear.
Late last week, we shut off the water at the old hospital. We have to go up there Thursday and dig up the pipe and have to cut it off so they can tear all their piping on the ground and everything. We've been working on our inventory. We have to take count of every fitting we keep in stock and what we use all year long for the State Board of Council to come in at the end of the year and match everything up then. And I think electric and water are the only two departments that have to do the inventory work. And then we've been changing out some meters over to Radio Reed. We spent 2 days down on Chauncey Street sewer job last week. We had to isolate a water main so they could dig up and work on the sewer pipe again. And then we're working on our year-end reports for the Department of Natural Resources. That's about it.
Questions of Mike? Mike Cook.
We got the results back today for a buyer monitor. We're required to do that through IDEM twice a year. And what we do is we take, come in, a company comes in 3 times in a week, takes a sample of our effluent, and then they run a serodapnea, which is a small, like a minnow, and the other one's like a water slate. And they put different amounts of our effluent into a test tank with this organisms in there, and at the end of the week, they are actually in 100% of our effluent. And they have to multiply, reproduce, and not die. There's so many that cannot. And we passed both of those for the last several years, so we got 100% rating on that. Those results were sent out to IDEM today. The improvement project, for two of them, they're aware, the three new members. Some of our equipment that during the upgrades that was finished up in 2008, some of the equipment was not upgraded then, and that's a project that we'll be starting here shortly. It's an 8-month project for a new recycle the station pile at the facility, and then we're replacing some mechanisms inside of our primary tanks. Notice to proceed was executed on December 30th, so we're waiting for that project to get started. Also had to start working on a renewal for our NPDS permit, which is the Bible for our department. It has all the limits that our effluents can contain as far as the testing that we have to do. I'll have to have that done and submitted to IDEM by June of this year. The permit that we're currently under will expire at the end of this year, December 31st. In your reports, and Jeff touched on during the earlier meeting, the structural steel on our equalization basin is being reinstalled. It's my understanding that the bolt holes didn't line up on some of the steel once they started erecting the steel. They were back on site today and started that, and they should have that completed. I would say by the end of the week, they should be completed. The crane should be hopefully hung and tested and everything like that. The only other thing I had was it been brought to my attention. Some people wanted me to make some ask about the Christmas decorations that are put up. They seem to think that they're in bad shape and would like to see the city possibly look at replacing some of them.
Where are you talking, Mike?
The ones that hang on the light poles.
The ones, oh, okay.
We've had for several years. And I said I would say something, but those are rather expensive pieces individually, so I don't know how, but I done my obligation. I've mentioned it. So that's all I have this evening.
Questions? Chief.
This week and next week, I'm working on a transition period with the prior administration into the new one. It's been very smooth and positive so far, so I'm kind of excited about that. I have met with the second and third shift supervisors, and they are making a list of kind of some short-term, long-term goals for their shifts, and also some proactive policing ideas that they can come up with. The captain reports to work on Monday, so when that happens, we will have command staff meetings to discuss those ideas for each shift, and then the shift supervisors will take that to their guys, and we'll start to get those implemented. Soon I'm going to start reviewing the police department SOPs and policies to make sure that we are favoring up to those policies and to see if we need to make any changes to those. And also, since myself and Detective Hively is going to be the captain, and now we have two openings for detective positions, and those have been posted, and I hope to get those filled possibly as early as next week. Those people that are going to take those positions have some training to get to. It's mandatory for that position, and also a lot of training is going to have to happen with the captain and myself to make sure they're up to speed on detective that job. So got a lot going on here in the next few weeks. Excited about serving and moving forward.
Questions to Tim?
Okay. Mark?
This morning, we also partook in the snow removal. We have a truck with a blade, just one truck, and we have a couple other smaller vehicles we use to remove snow. Just wanted to inform you of that, because a lot of people don't think of us doing that. But we usually go down all the sidewalks downtown and kind of make an initial swipe through the sidewalks, helping some of the business owners with some of their snow removal. So we do that. We also clear out some of the bridges that we have in the park. We have two in Marshall's Park, actually one at the front, and the one that goes over to Blue River Estates. And then, obviously, the greenway, we clean that off, and the driveways, the parking lots of all the parks. We have our father-daughter dance coming up February 3rd. That's at 6 o'clock at the Church of God. We'll have 350 tickets. Those went for sale, up for sale today. Had a number of people coming in today, so I'm sure they'll go quick. It's $25 for a father and a daughter, and $10 for an additional daughter. Christmas lights, we had some that we put up along 30. We'll be taking those down tomorrow. And then baseball and softball registration will be starting early February, so we're also planning on that. One of the things, what I'll start doing in my reports is giving you information on who is sponsoring our events. I thought that might be helpful for you to know, just so if you were to run into a business owner, you can say thank you for helping us out, just so they know that you're aware that they're helping sponsor some of our events at the park. So we couldn't do it without sponsors, really. So we raised a lot of money from sponsors. So.
And Mark, tell me, I know you told us at Board of Works, but tell me the difference between last year and this year in the father-daughter dance of what changes you're making.
Well, it's still the church. And last year, even though 400 was our number, we ended up with a little more than that. We're going to 350. It was just so full. And the church had some, they felt that we really needed to cut it back to have it there. When we had it at the Eagle's Nest, our maximum was 300. So we had 100 more last year. But it was very busy, very crowded. So hopefully we can still have a decent number, but yet have a little bit more of a safer feeling, and we're not breaking any fire codes by having too many people in place of the day singing or anything like that. So that's what we're doing with that.
Do you expect tickets to be sold out before the date? The actual event?
Usually they are every year.
Okay.
Usually about a week before the dance, they're sold out.
Okay. Yeah. Questions of Mark? Okay. Marcia?
Nothing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Rosie? Jackie?
Nothing.
I just want to thank the guys for getting together with me and helping me with my first day. And I know Chief Longenball and I have had a pretty eventful first day, and not to exclude the other department heads, but want to thank everyone and Rosie and Martha for helping me get through this first day. So appreciate that. Well. Okay. Cool.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Anybody from the audience? No? Press? Okay. Well, with that, meeting adjourned.